So is it racist when you criticize your own race? And did you hear about the girl who thought she was part werewolf, part vampire?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is not a political talk show. Oh, you knew that. Well, I'm reminding you that this is not a conservative political talk show. This is a kingdom-oriented, biblically-based, Jesus-centered talk show where we look at things like politics and what's happening in the world through a kingdom perspective so that we, being in the world and not of it, can bring God's kingdom perspective into the things we're looking at. So we're going to talk about some controversial issues, but I think in a way, I hope, I believe in a way that will give us wisdom, will help us to deal with things constructively. Michael Brown, welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. Hope you had a blessed weekend. If not, praying and believing that this week, this Monday, will start you off better. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay, I know the question about the girl who thought she was part werewolf, part vampire is intriguing, but we're not going to start there. We're not starting there. We are starting instead with a couple of politically related things, but from a kingdom perspective. And I want to put out a couple of questions for you, all right? The first one has to do with some recent comments of Herman Cain and criticism about his comments, where he made some statements about fellow African-Americans, as an African-American himself, and was criticized by another African-American for those comments. I could come at this from the perspective of being a white American or a Jew or a follower of Jesus, excuse me, whichever particular perspective. In other words, I could say this can apply to any of us, an Italian-American, an Asian-American, whoever you are, Hispanic. It's the same principle. It just happens to be playing out in one circle, but it's the same principle. And I want to ask you this question. Is it racist when you criticize your own race? If I, as a Jew, was speaking critically of my Jewish people or about the nation of Israel, or if I, as a white American, was speaking critically about white Americans, or if I, as a leader in the body, was speaking critically of fellow leaders, would any of those things be inappropriate, either racist or insensitive or ethnically incorrect? Or isn't that where criticism has to come from within the house? I want to talk to you about that, and we'll play some sound bites for you as well. And then I want to raise another issue, which is, are we looking for a political savior? Oh, no, not just in this election cycle, but regularly in every election cycle, regardless of which side of the vote you're on, regardless of whether you're Democrat, Republican, or independent, do we have the tendency to look for a political savior, to look for someone who is going to bring about this radical, amazing, unbelievable, incredible change? And do we just set ourselves up for disappointment when we do that? 866-34-TRUTH. And we've just got time. Let's play clip number one. This is Herman Cain on with Wolf Blitzer.
Why is the Republican Party poison for so many African Americans?
Because many African Americans have been brainwashed into not being open-minded, not even considering a conservative point of view. I have received some of that same vitriol simply because I am running for the Republican nomination as a conservative. So it's just brainwashing and people not being open-minded, pure and simple.
All right. Are those comments pure and simple? Is there anything in those comments that would be racist, or would it only be racist if someone from the outside said it, or would that even be racist? 866-34-TRUTH. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Right, a few things I want to put on the table today for discussion. First, is it racist to criticize your own race, your own people? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, you can weigh in our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. I think we'd all agree that there's some comments that would be so over the top, so inappropriate, that there would be something wrong with them. But if we can't criticize within our own house, then who can criticize us? So let me play again the comments of Herman Cain. They're very brief, on with Wolf Blitzer, and then we'll go to some further comments after that.
Why is the Republican Party poison for so many African Americans?
Because many African Americans have been brainwashed into not being open-minded, not even considering a conservative point of view. I have received some of that same vitriol simply because I am running for the Republican nomination as a conservative. So it's just brainwashing and people not being open-minded, pure and simple.
All right, so this leads to a discussion then on the Anderson Cooper Show. And there are a couple of folks involved. There is a Democratic strategist who is named Cornell Belcher, himself an African-American, and a Republican strategist, Ari Fleischer, who is a white Jewish American. Now, it gets a little lively. If I play the longer clip, it gets even more lively. But I want you to hear this, and I want you to hear the concern that Cornell Belcher raises, and then the discussion that surrounds this. Okay.
You know, I'm all in on this one. So Ari, if he had said, came on the state on and said that all Jewish people are brainwashed, you would just leave that alone. You wouldn't touch that at all. But it's different if he says about African Americans. Why aren't you touching this?
Because I'm not going to get into racial politics. I think that nobody wins when people.
And he didn't get into racial politics when he said that all black people were brainwashed.
Cornell, let me ask you.
He's number three right now in the polls, and he's going to get into racial politics.
Cornell, pick your fight with Herman Cain. Don't pick your fight.
Cornell, fight's not with me.
Cornell, pick your fight with Herman Cain. Don't pick your fight with me.
All right. Now the discussion goes on. I listened to it for a few minutes after that. I didn't listen to the entire segment, but what shocked me was okay. Hang on. Aside from the fact that Herman Cain said many, not all, and I appreciated what Cornell Belcher was seeking to get across, the point he was seeking to make as the discussion went on. But I'm thinking, wait, stop the music for a second. Stop the music. There is a big elephant in the room, and the big elephant that everyone seemed to be missing was that this was someone speaking about his own people. Just like if Ari Fleischer got up, or let's say that it was Joe Lieberman, Senator Joe Lieberman, when he was a potential presidential candidate. And he got up and he said, look, Jews, you know, many Jews just brainwashed into not even thinking about possibly voting a conservative. Would that have been a racist statement coming from him? I mean, that's the question, that this was in-house. So how could you compare that to Herman Cain, say, speaking about Jews, or say Joe Lieberman theoretically speaking about Black Americans? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's talk about it. Then I've got a clip from President Obama that I want to play for you in a moment. And I've got some quotes from leaders in the past, ranging from Martin Luther King to Malcolm X and others. I want to ask this question. Are these comments racist? Is it racist to criticize your own race? And again, if you can't do in-house criticism, if I'm not allowed to speak critically to white Americans or to fellow Jewish followers of Jesus or wherever you want to draw the line, then who does have the right to say these things? Then no one ever can. 866-34-TRUTH. And by the way, whether Herman Cain is right or wrong isn't even my question. I'm happy to discuss that with you, all right? But I would prefer that those who want to agree with him or disagree or perhaps identifying with him more deeply in different ways, or either way. Fact is, I want to discuss whether it is racist to criticize your own race. All right, Brenda in Fredericksburg, Virginia. We lost Brenda there. She was in agreement, though, with Herman Cain. John in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. In my personal opinion, I think it would be racist for if someone within their own race saw something that they thought was wrong and it was a legitimate statement to make, I think it would be racist not to speak out against it. I think it has a lot to do with the mainstream media, which I learned years ago, and I just stopped watching it altogether. But if I could say one thing about, like, the Republicans, I'm not going to vote or anything, but I was blue collar, did commercial construction a lot of years, and I always realized myself, because people say the Republicans are for big business, and it turns them away from them. But I always realized on commercial construction jobs, it was big business who was financing the work, as far as I could see. I could be wrong, but... And I think it has to do with the media influencing people against one another, and that's why I just stopped watching it. But personally, I grew up in a racist family, and I'm not racist.
So in your mind, fear. Then, John, if you see something within your own people group, ethnic group, religious group, whatever, and you give it a free pass, so let's just say race. So as a white American see something that other white Americans are doing, and I give it a free pass and don't criticize it because it's my own people, then that actually would be racism. The criticism would be a healthy thing. The non-criticism would be racist. Hey, John, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Debbie in Harlem, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
I think you would have to define racism means first. What do you mean by racist?
All right, tell you what, I'll give you a dictionary definition.
Okay.
Let's see. A belief or doctrine that inherent differences among the various human races determine cultural or individual achievement. Or another definition, racism is the belief that there are inherent different traits in human racial groups that justify discrimination. So if I, and that's a great point you're making, Debbie. For example, if I said that whites are inherently stupid or that whites are inherently lazy or something like that, even as a white person, that could potentially be considered racist based on that definition.
All right, well, I think as an African-American person myself, who my ancestors served, we were brought here, right?
Mm-hmm. Against your will.
So we weren't even considered human. We were put on auction blocks and sold, probably more like cattle. So I don't know, after the signing of the Declaration or whatever that emancipated us and gave us whatever, but my whole point in saying all this is that we weren't even considered human. Until maybe, 1959 or something?
Oh, yeah, it's part of a terrible, shameful past in America. Absolutely.
This brother who said this, he's just confused because we're here as African-Americans, and a lot of us are very confused. We're in a lifestyle of mass confusion. We were brought here. We had to take on a language that we didn't know. Then we were given a Bible, which I love the Bible. I love it. The whole concept of Christ, et cetera. Sweet as pie. But you see what I'm coming from? So he's a confused individual. And the only thing I could say for him, I wouldn't say he was racist. I would just say that he maybe didn't have nothing else to say. And this is just fuel to keep a conversation going. And I don't think the average African-American even gives a cahoot. As far as elections go, and as far as these people who are running, I personally know what the scripture says. The scripture says that we don't wrestle between flesh and blood, but we wrestle mm-hmm. with principalities and wickedness in high places and governments and things of that nature. So it's those things that cripple man, regardless of what color he is that he's succumbing to his own demise, whether he's black, white, or whatever. And until he opens his eyeballs and sees what he's doing to himself, never mind what God's going to do to him. Look at how we're destroying the earth, the very water, and things of that nature. So we don't have to worry about what God's going to do to us. We need to do what we're doing to each other.
All right. Hey, Debbie, listen, I appreciate you weighing in, and thank you for the call. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thanks. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, let's go to Donald in Yonkers, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hello, Dr. Brown. Now, the candidate, I think he used a bad choice of word. He might even believe that that black people, African Americans, are brainwashed to vote Democratic. But I think it's more or less, you know, we'd like to have unity on that particular area in politics, because there's so much flim flam and nonsense going on with politics as it is. I think we should vote according to our Christian values.
Mm-hmm.
And we should do that independently.
All right. Hey, but Donald, stay with us. I want to keep talking to you. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a short break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, it's Monday, which means just 2 days from today. I'm looking forward to meeting all of you listening on WEZE in Greater Boston. If you live within an hour or two of Malden, Massachusetts, please join me Wednesday night, 7 p.m. That's why I'm coming. It's to see you. That night, no, there's no other business. It's not a regular preaching meeting. It's to meet with our listeners, to encourage your hearts with some real inspiration, to take some of your questions. Everyone that comes will get a free DVD as well. We'll be there to sign copies of some of my books if you'd like that. So that's Malden First Church of the Nazarene, 7 p.m. this Wednesday night, 866-34-TRUTH. We're discussing if it's racist to criticize one's own race. Back to you, Donald, in Yonkers. So before the break, you were saying we should vote based on Christian values, or in particular, you were speaking to fellow black Americans to be voting based on Christian values. So
that's
back
right.
To your comments.
Yes, we should be voting based on our Christian values and not being tied to a party, and let the Lord lead us on who to vote for. But the average African-American will, I have subscribed to that in the past, that we should have unity when we vote, because we are in the minority, and we have to show, that's one way for us to show unity. The mm-hmm. candidate, his choice of words of being brainwashed is extremely inappropriate based on his platform. He should have never use that word. He's got all kind of criticism coming towards him, and he in fact, you know, he's saying that the average African American is brainwashed. He could be brainwashed himself. So the criticism is going to be coming to him that way as well. It's just not a very smart thing to say, and he's going to live to regret that one.
All right, now it's interesting you mention that, because last year I got a book written by an African-American and a highly successful advertiser, and he was writing to his own people, and it's called Brainwashed, Challenging the Myth of Black Inferiority. And the whole book is about how African-Americans have been brainwashed into thinking that they're inferior. And that's the name of his book, and yet I took it as the opposite of a racist book. But Donald, the reason we have talk radio is so you can weigh in, so thanks for being articulate and sharing your thoughts. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, before I go back to the phones, let's hear what President Obama said at the end of his comments to the Black Congressional Caucus. And I also want you to note the style of his speaking, which was different than his normal speech style, and to ask you, were his comments racist, and was his style racist?
Take off your bedroom slippers. Put on your marching shoes. Shake it off. Stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Stop crying. We are going to press on. We've got work to do. CBC, God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
So was that racist? Were those comments racist? Take off your bedroom slippers. Stop complaining. even the style of speech, which was much more colloquial than his normal speech. Was that racist? I'm asking these questions so we can have discussion, okay? This has nothing to do with white, black, Jew, Gentile. This is the simple question. Is it racist if we are criticizing our own race? 866-34-TRUTH. Jane in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. We lost Jane, who is black and Republican. Dave in Hooksett, North New Hampshire, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, yeah, and I hope to see you next Wednesday.
Awesome,
next
man.
Wednesday,
I'll be looking.
Right?
This coming Wednesday, 2 days from now, man. I'll be looking for you, buddy.
Excellent, excellent. Yes, I will certainly look forward to it. Yeah, no, there's so many things to consider here. Is you know, first of all, you know, is it racist to criticize your own race for behaviors or things? That's one thing, but racism is really pigeonholing. Like where the definition is you're defined by it. In other words, black people jump higher and all this other stuff, even though anecdotally that might be true. It's not specifically true. It can't be said.
Right, or white men can't jump, right?
Yeah, it's like ethnic jokes, even though for the most part, most of them are kind of stupid. But being Irish, I can tell an Irish joke, and I'm not being racist. Now am I?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
But beyond that, look at Bill Cosby. Look at the grief he took. Remember when he was talking about how fathers have got to stay in the house and all this other
stuff?
He took all kinds of grief. And what it is he's taken the grief from the wannabe leaders of the black community, if you will, the Jesse Jacksons and the rest of them, that enjoy the fact that if people don't feel like they're oppressed, then they don't need him to lead them out of their oppression. They're no longer oppressed in America. I'm sorry. I don't buy that at all. I don't see it. I have neighbors, and it isn't. It's not true. So for people to continue to treat them like they're being victimized, to try to stir them up, which is what Obama's doing, he's talking down to them. So that's the attitude I saw espoused by him, was that he's talking down to these people like, you know, you need me, and you don't know any better, and I'm going to fix you, and I'm going to fix everything for you, you know?
Got it.
And he hasn't, and that's why he's stirring it up more now, because A lot of people are realizing that thought they were going to be getting these handouts. They're not. And
right.
These people that are on unemployment, it's not unemployment anymore. It's welfare. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and Dave, I just got to jump in because we're up against a break. I'm sure some of our listeners will differ with some of your perspective, but it's important that you weigh in. I definitely see the ethnic joke parallel. In other words, that within the family, within the household, you can say certain things or to each other. Or a Jew could even crack a joke about Jews. You know, I've got Jewish jokes sometimes before I preach a message. I'll share something. And I've often joked with the congregation. Now, for me to say it, it's funny. If you said it, it would be anti-Semitic. And, of course, we laugh about it. But there is that aspect of being in-house and family. And, again, Herman Cain was asked a direct question. Whether he's right or wrong in his assessment is a separate issue. You're free to weigh in on that. 866-34-TRUTH. And if you're upset with what a caller says, hey, phone lines are open. If you keep trying to get through, hopefully you will. All right. A couple years ago, I had the great privilege of working with a tremendous crew, and we worked really, really hard to put out these amazing TV shows that aired on the Inspiration Network and still internationally on INI called Think It Through. Really interesting documentaries on the streets of New York and other cities. And I would come up with these different topics. I really felt the Lord gave them to me. And then we talked to people on the streets and so on. They're really interesting. And I want to get these into your hands. You'll find them really enjoyable on DVD and a great outreach tool as well. But even if you don't know a Jew in the world, you'll enjoy them. So we've got two of these DVDs, one called An Incomplete Religion, asking the question, is Judaism an incomplete religion? And another one called Arrest Beyond the Sabbath. I want to send them both to you, postage paid for just $10. So it's the two TV shows on two DVDs, postage paid for just $10. Trust me, you'll enjoy them. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978 to order. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Our discussion will continue.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. Were these comments racist? President Barack Obama, then candidate, speaking to a black congregation Father's Day, June 15th, 2008. Quote, too many fathers are missing from too many lives and too many homes. Was that racist? He said they have abandoned their responsibilities, acting like boys instead of men, and the foundations of our families are weaker because of it. Was that racist? Dr. Martin Luther King said, the shattering blows on the Negro family have made it fragile, deprived, and often psychopathic. Now, he's talking about the attacks that have come from the outside against the black American family, which through our history have been severe and ugly and terrible and inexcusable. But when he describes the effect on the family so that they're now fragile, deprived, and often psychopathic, was that racist? Or is he perhaps one of the few people who could make remarks like that? What about the comments that we addressed on the air here by Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter, African-American, last August, speaking in his home congregation, African-American congregation, addressing the youth who had been on the rampage in the city? He said, you've damaged yourself, you've damaged another person, you've damaged your peers, and quite honestly, you've damaged your own race. Is that racist? And then he said to the young people, take those god darn hoodies down, especially in the summer. Pull your pants up and buy a belt, because no one wants to see your underwear or the crack of your butt. Quote, nobody. He said, parents who neglect their children, who don't know where they are, who don't know what they're doing, and who don't know who they're hanging out with, you're going to find yourself spending some quality time with your kids in jail. And then to the fathers, he said, if you're not providing the guidance and you're not sending any money, you're just a sperm donor. Did Cornell Belcher, the African-American Democrat political strategist who criticized Herman Cain's comments as racist, did he criticize Mayor Nutter's comments? If he did, I was not aware of that. How about this from Malcolm X? Malcolm X to his own people. You've been misled, you've been had, you've been took. You've been misled, you've been had, you've been took. That's a different type of brainwashing. Were his comments racist? When Jewish leaders criticize leaders in Israel, is that racist? When I get on the radio and speak strongly about problems in the church and problems with my fellow leaders, is that being prejudiced or discriminatory? Having this discussion for good practical reasons, 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones, Alfonso in Irvington, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown? Nice to hear from you.
Hey, good to hear from you, man.
I just want to weigh in on your topic of the day about these the comments that a lot of black leaders have made, African-American leaders have made in the past up until now. The thing is, I'm a young black male, and I can agree we have been brainwashed. A lot of black people, African-Americans, don't want to admit that we've been brainwashed because those are the ones that still are in some sense brainwashed. So I agree with with some of the statements, and it's not racist if it's coming from your own race. Mm-hmm. So and another point is, like, we need that. We sometimes need that as African Americans, someone telling us this, so we can wake up and realize what's going on. You know, mm-hmm. us black folks, we do need to pull our pants up. We do need to take the hoodies off in the summertime. You know, it's a lot of things that I totally agree with, you know?
Yeah, and Alfonso, I'm sure that every group, every people group, is brainwashed in one way or another to not think clearly. You know, we just inherited certain ways of thinking, or it's kind of the group think. And it's absolutely true that we need from within our own house people speaking the truth to us. I mean, I need it in my life, and I try to do it for others as well. But thank you, sir, for weighing in loud and clear. I appreciate it, man. God bless you, buddy. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with more of your calls. Feel free to agree or disagree.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to catch everyone up that's just tuned in. These are the comments that have created the subject for today's broadcast. Wolf Blitzer asking Herman Cain this question.
Why is the Republican Party poison for so many African Americans?
Because many African Americans have been brainwashed into not being open-minded, not even considering a conservative point of view. I have received some of that same vitriol simply because I am running for the Republican nomination as a conservative. So it's just brainwashing and people not being open-minded, pure and simple.
Now, notice Blitzer's question was very strong. Why is it poison? Why won't people even consider certain things? Herman Cain gives his explanation. Then Black Democratic strategist Cornell Belcher on the Anderson Cooper show says this was a racist comment, and what if he had said the same thing about Jews? The fact is he's not a Jew. If a Jew had said it about Jews, I think many Jews are brainwashed into not considering the conservative viewpoint. I absolutely believe that. I believe that there's a certain mindset and groupthink among many Jews, and you're raised in it. And you know, I'll see interaction from, say, some of my cousins, and they have a certain point of view. And and their worldview is so different than mine on some things. And they're thinking people. I'm a thinking person. You know, they might think I've been brainwashed. I mean, that's a fair discussion. But either way, it's not racist when it comes from within your own house. That's my, and look, let me ask this question again. If we can't bring criticism within our own house without being called racist, then where is it going to come from? If you can't take it from your own family, you're not going to take it from someone on the outside. And again, a racist statement by definition, and I appreciate the caller from Harlem who asked earlier for a definition of racism, that would be to say that there are some inherent qualities about the race that are negative or destructive and therefore even worthy of discrimination. That's a whole different issue. 866-34-TRUTH. Frank in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, for the last 55 or 60 years or so, the only answer I have ever given to questions as to my race, however the questions came and wherever they came from, has been human, on the ground that that is the only answer to be given because that is the only race that there is, which for me ends the discussion. Way back in 1959, when things were done rather differently from now, the Washington, D.C. refused to issue me a renewal of my driver's license because they found that answer unacceptable on the questionnaire then issued. We fought it out for 3 years. At one point, they threatened to arrest me and fine me for altering an official document. And by 1962, I had won. They don't ask it anymore. End of the discussion.
Oh, so you're saying then that you had to say Caucasian or black or whatever it was, and you just put down human, and now
I still do.
Uh huh.
And because there is no other race as far as I am concerned.
Now, Frank, do you remember the comment about Joe Louis, the famous black boxer, when he died? Someone made the comment he was a credit to his race, the human race.
Vaguely, you're going way back a long time.
Yeah, so I mean, that would be the same spirit of it, that there's one race. So does that mean then, sir, that we can speak with constructive criticism to one another across ethnic boundaries and other things, and we shouldn't be so sensitive about it?
Well, we have to recognize things that do go on, unfortunately, still in the culture. But basically, yes.
Got it. All right. Hey, sir, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I recognize your voice. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
You are very welcome.
All right. All the best to you. 866-34-TRUTH. Patrick in Miami, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Muslim Han, Dr. Brown, how are you?
Yeah, everything's good, man. Thank you, Patrick.
I met you a couple of years ago when you were down there. There was a debate you had, and I appreciate you being down here.
Well, thanks.
Anyway, I just want to comment on what's being said, especially about what Herman Cain said. You know, here we are in the 21st century. You know, I'm an African-American pastor. I work in corporate America. And here we are in the 21st century, still being sensitive about what we say to different ethnic groups or races.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is the African-American people, and I agree with what Mr. Cain said, because the African-American people, and I'm African-American, we really don't know our history. Back in the 1960s, during the Civil Rights Movement, it was Republicans who supported the Civil Rights Bill. It was the mm-hmm. Democrats who opposed it.
Yep.
So we started to support this Democratic platform because of socialism, social services, and things like that. And we thought that the Republicans were against it. They were not. They were more pro-jobs, pro-education. And so we need to move off that center and go and start to find our identity. Not so much in a political party, but first as believers in the Messiah, in Jesus. Mm. That's what we need to do first. And I have a problem with what's being said. We need to be careful when we say, well, I can criticize or I can give correction if it's within my group. Well, that's dangerous, because if I live in a community, it's multiracial, if yes. you want to use that word. And if one of the white neighbors see my black child doing something stupid, I want him to say something to that black child. I want him to stand up as a man, as a human being, saying that is the wrong thing to do. You pull your pants up, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
So when we start talking, and also in the church, within the fellowship of Jesus, Yeshua.
So, just to jump in then, in other words, it is because we have a non-racist approach that we can freely do that. Because I'm not seeing that's a white kid who's got his pants down or a black kid who's got his pants down. That's a kid that I care about that needs some parental instruction.
That's
right.
Exactly right. So when we start talking about, well, I should be able to talk to my group. What if you're a rabbi or a pastor and like mine, my church is multicultural.
Yeah.
Whites, blacks, Europeans, Americans, South Americans. I want to know that the men and women in that fellowship, in our fellowship, when they see a African-American child doing something stupid, walking down the street with his pants down, it's got nothing to do with what color he is. It's correction within the body of Christ. And so when we start saying, well, you know, if I'm a member of that group, I should be able to criticize that group. Incorrect. If you're a member, like this one man just said earlier, of the human race, and you see someone doing something stupid that's going to hurt him and others, they should feel free to speak to that child. And if the child comes back and says, you're a racist, they need to educate them on what that means. Racism means oppression. It's when one people oppressed another. And so when he's correcting him, that has nothing to do with oppression. He's trying to correct this kid. And there was one more thing I want to say. During the 1940s, in Germany, Nazi Germany, there was a newspaper that came out and announced that all the professors, the Jewish professors in Germany, were fired. In one day, those Jewish professors came to America. They were not allowed to go into a lot of the Ivy League schools, except for the people like Einstein and others. But the majority went to African-American colleges. And these professors made a huge difference in how we were educated as people. Because even during the African-American freedom times of the 1950s and 60s, we still had this mentality. We still had this slave mentality. In other words, you, Michael Brown, as a black child, I'm not saying that you're black, I know you're Jewish, you have to go and learn this as a trade. Because you'll never make it in the white man's world if you go as a lawyer or a doctor. So you need to do this. Well, these Jewish professors came over, and they really made a huge difference in the mentality of how these young people thought. There was one gentleman who was going to be a plumber. That's all he wanted to be. And became one of the greatest attorneys of our time because of that influence. That is a cleavage now between the African-American and the Jewish community. Why? Because of this racist ideology of slave mentality. Mm. We are being oppressed by the man, the Jewish man, the white man, the blue man, the purple man. This is the 21st century.
Right, and that's part of this book that I had referenced by Tom Burrell, Brainwashed, Challenging the Myth of Black Inferiority. Hey, Patrick, I've got to run. I just want to let our listeners know, Patrick was not speaking in tongues at the beginning of the call there when he said Mashalom Cha. That's the Hebrew way of saying how are you doing. So I just didn't reply in Hebrew because that would be even more confusion for everyone. But Patrick, thanks for weighing in. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. I very much appreciate it. God bless you.
Thank you very much. Toda rabah.
All right. Toda rabah. That was thanks a lot in Hebrew there. Hey, good job, man. Well done. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to get to a couple more calls, and also want to share my thoughts about our tendency to put our trust in a political savior and the danger that runs for us. All right, whole lot more. Stay with us. Shake the nation, change the world. Change the world.
Send it, Lord.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. This subject has generated a good amount of interest. I have an article that should be appearing in the next couple of days. I'll tell you where and when. Called Is It Racist to Criticize Your Own Race? Where we take up this issue and share some of the quotes we've shared here with you on the air. To weigh in, if you don't get a chance to call in, go to our website, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. One more reminder to our friends in the greater Boston area, WEZE listeners, please join me Wednesday night, so 2 days from today, that's October 5th, Wednesday night, 7 p.m., Malden First Church of the Nazarene. This is a rally just for you. This is not just a regular service, and then I'm going to bring a message and then get whisked right out of there. No, I'm there to meet with you, to share a word of real encouragement, inspiration. We'll have some Q&A, give out free DVDs to everyone that comes. So by all means, join us Wednesday night, everyone listening in the greater WEZE Boston area. All right, let me see if I can get to a couple more calls. Terrence in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing today, Dr. Brown?
Very well. How about you, sir?
I'm doing good.
Thanks.
I'm going back to some comments you made about the other leaders and things that they said were they racist.
Yes.
I think they spoke more about accountability and responsibility, which is what I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
The candidate, Herman Cain, he spoke more of an ideology, and I think his choice of words were kind of got him a little bit of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Obama, Bill Cosby, and all these other people, Malcolm X, the mayor of Philly, all of those guys spoke about, doing things about being accountable to yourselves and to your community, being responsible, trying to be productive citizens and productive to society overall. The things that Herman Cain spoke about was an ideology, and, when he said, many African Americans, that's kind of what set the alarm off with a lot of people thinking about it, going for a racist point of view. I don't think it was racist. I think what he said was a little bit ignorant because I don't think it's fair to basically categorize a group of people. If he had said something along the lines of, I think that African Americans, haven't done their homework and haven't really looked into things, just as a pastor who came on before said, back in the civil rights, how Republicans really supported the civil rights movement. If he would have been accurate, and been a little bit more open-minded himself and had said something along the lines of, African-Americans maybe not have been really knowledgeable about a lot of things that have occurred, that might have went over a little bit better and been more acceptable than saying that, a lot of them have been brainwashed.
Got it. All right, so it would just be the approach to it to generate more light than heat. Hey, Terrence, I appreciate you weighing in with that perspective very much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Let me get it. Barbara in East Meadow. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, is that Barbara?
Yes, it's you, Barbara.
Oh, yes. Hi. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you call my name. But I just wanted to say that my husband and I, we were Democrats back in the days of Clinton. And then we're Christians, African-Americans, and the first thing Clinton did was to try to get rid of the gays in the military. And then we started looking more closely at the moral standing of the Democratic Party, and we became quite alarmed and decided, after investigating the way the different parties voted in different areas, we noticed the trend that the Democrats voted against a lot of the moral issues of Christianity. And mm-hmm. we became quite concerned, so concerned that we changed our party to Republican. Mm-hmm. And I've been quite amazed over the years to notice that a lot of people I know, African-American friends and family members, who are very moral people, they persistently kept up allegiance to the Democratic Party. And that's something I could never understand until I realized that a lot of them listen to certain radio stations. And these stations are throwing out a lot of negative things and about the Republican Party. And I realized that a lot of them really are brainwashed from just listening consistently to this negative, racist type of comments and just racist against.
All right. So, you know, yeah, so it fueled, in other words, it fuels certain fires and pushes certain emotional buttons so that the real issues aren't dealt with. And again, I think every one of us that listens to radio, watches TV, hangs with certain people, whoever we are, there's that possibility of us getting brainwashed and not thinking clearly. And again, my issue is, why can't someone, especially of our own skin color or religious persuasion or ethnicity, address these things? Hey, Barbara, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. Okay, I am not going to have time in this hour to talk through my thoughts about the dangers of putting our trust in a political savior. I'm either going to get to it in the second hour or maybe, well, later in the week. Maybe I can get to it on Wednesday. But I have written on this. I've written an article, Don't Put Your Trust in a Political Savior. You can read it on our website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the Voice of Revolution. I really encourage you to read it because we tend to have this mentality, especially if we're religious or spiritually minded people, and oh, this one is committed Christian, oh, he's going to turn things around, she's going to turn things around. And really, there's only so much the president can do. Perhaps they could do more harm than good, but for real national turnaround, it's going to have to be grassroots people calling on God. And a president can do good, but they can only do so much. So make sure you read my article, Don't Put Your Trust in a Political Savior. There's also an article that will be appearing later today on townhall.com. The girl who thought she was a werewolf vampire. Oh, trust me, you want to read that one. And if you're subscribed to our e-blast, then you'll get a notice about that as well. If you don't, go to askdrbrown.org and sign up right on the homepage. All right. My reminder to you, friends, that we've got a wonderful resource offer. Two of the TV shows that we developed for Inspiration Network, one of the most wonderful and intensely demanding things I've ever done, the series is called Think It Through. Two DVDs, one An Incomplete Religion. Is Judaism an incomplete religion? Is that Ann Coulter made that statement, you know, implied that? Is that wrong? Another TV show, Arrest Beyond the Sabbath, that we did. Both of these in New York City, you'll find them fascinating on the streets of New York. You can get both postage paid, for just $10. I want to get these to as many of you as possible. Share them with your friends. You'll enjoy listening. Get them out to your friends. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's also the number to call if you want to hold our hands up in support, become a monthly torchbearer, and stand with us. Again, 1-800-278-9978 to order. Just $10 postage paid. The two DVDs, An Incomplete Religion and Arrest Beyond the Sabbath. You'll find them fascinating, enjoyable, great outreach tools. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, Scripture says that the kisses of an enemy may be profuse, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. The Word of God says open rebuke is better than secret love. If we can't speak the truth to our own people, to our own family, then who can speak the truth to us? So is it racist when you criticize your own race? And did you hear about the girl who thought she was part werewolf, part vampire?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Over the next 12 months, the political scene will be heating up more and more and more here in America. It is our goal on The Line of Fire to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church often in compromise. It is our goal to constructively look at what's happening in society and based on biblical principles and a biblical kingdom mindset, say, how should we respond? What can we take away from this? What can we bring to this conversation? And once again, the issue of racism is in the air. And to me, this gives us a great opportunity as God's people from all backgrounds of all colors to talk through these issues. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Boy, this has been happening on Mondays where I've got one topic I'm going to discuss in the first hour and another in the second hour, and the discussion gets so interesting and hot in a good sense, great constructive comments, that we've got to carry it out into the second hour. So here's my question for you. And I know the werewolf vampire thing is of interest, and I will at least give you a little bit more detail on that and then refer you to an article that is about to appear on townhall.com called The Girl Who Thought She Was a Werewolf Vampire. So here's my question. I'm Jewish. Most all of you know that. I'm a Jewish follower of Jesus. I'm a white American Jewish follower of Jesus. I'm a white American male Jewish follower of Jesus. I'm a New Yorker, even though I live in North Carolina. Okay, we can keep making a smaller and smaller circle. If I get up and tell a Jewish joke, and maybe it's a joke about, Jews and money, all right? Or let's say I'm with a Scottish friend and I tell him this joke, you know, because both could have a reputation for being tight with money. And exaggerated in many ways, I'm sure, but this is just in the common, you know, parlance. So there's a joke about a Jew and a Scotsman. And they were at the beach and they made a bet, a $1 bet as to who could stay underwater longer. Who could stay underwater longer? The Jew or the Scotsman? And $1 bet. What happened? They both drowned. Now, I mean, I could say that as a Jew or a Scotsman could say it, but if someone else said it, you might not laugh the same way, okay? I just use that as a simple illustration. Well, isn't it the same thing that if I want to bring criticism, like let me talk to you about Jews for Jesus. I'm a Jew who believes in Jesus. Let me tell you about issues that we have in our movement. Or I'm charismatic. I've written books addressing issues in the charismatic church. For example, Whatever Happened to the Power of God? Is the charismatic church slain in the spirit or down for the count? I have a right to do that as a charismatic. Now, a non-charismatic has the right, but I have more right because it's in the house. Whereas if I was writing a book critical of Southern Baptists, I'd have to do it with a certain tone because I'm not Southern Baptist. I don't have a history among the people. So my question is it racist when you criticize your own race? Now, we'll play some sound bites for you, some audio clips on the other side of the break. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, you can weigh in at AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Herman Cade made some comments. Others have criticized him for being racist. I've got a bunch of comments here from everyone from President Barack Obama to Dr. Martin Luther King to Malcolm X. I wonder if these comments can rightly be called racist as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with these audio clips and your calls. Stay with us.
It
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I need to mention something that happened at the airport the other day. It's in Phoenix and back, and then New York and back, and then Chicago and back, and then, God willing, Boston and back. Before we make our way over to Honolulu and back. Yeah, the big sacrifice over there. But, there are many, many Hispanics with the name Jesus, right? But you don't really hear a lot of Americans, or I should say non-Hispanics, with the name Jesus as a first name, at least in our culture. But Jesus, yeah. So I'm at the airport in Phoenix, and apparently the way they page people, it's not an actual, I hear this more and more commonly, it's not an actual voice. You get your comment in, and then you type it in, and then a computer reads it. So I'm standing there, and they're paging. Will Jesus Flores please come to the guide table? Will Jesus Flores? That's not Jesus Flores. It's Jesus. Jesus. Anyway, that's not really relevant. I just remembered it. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay, first, these were comments that President Obama made to the Black Congressional Caucus. And notice also the tone. This is the end of his message, and he's getting pretty pumped up. Notice also the tone, the style of delivery, the pronunciation is a little different than his normal. Clip number three.
And shoes. Shake it off. Stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Stop crying. We are going to press on. We've got work to do. CBC, God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
Now were those comments racist? Did Democrat national strategists say those are racist comments? Take your slippers off. Stop complaining. Now, I heard some criticism from different fronts, and, well, would he speak to others like that? Well, he wasn't speaking to others. He was speaking to his own race, just like me speaking to white Americans, say. So Herman Cain is asked a very direct question, Wolf Blitzer being white, asking him the question, Herman Cain being black, answering the question.
Why is the Republican Party poison for so many African Americans?
Because many African Americans have been brainwashed into not being open-minded, not even considering a conservative point of view. I have received some of that same vitriol simply because I am running for the Republican nomination as a conservative. So it's just brainwashing and people not being open-minded, pure and simple.
Okay, so that is his viewpoint. You may agree with his viewpoint, you may disagree with his viewpoint, but the question is it racist if he says that about his own people? Okay, so Cornell Belcher is a Democratic strategist, and he is a black man himself. He's on the Anderson Cooper show. Opposite him is Ari Fleischer, Republican strategist, who is a white Jew. Listen to the conversation. It gets a little lively, but you'll be able to sort it out.
You know, I'm all in on this one. So Ari, if he had said, came on the state on and said, and all Jewish people are brainwashed, you would just leave that alone. You wouldn't touch that at all. But it's different if he says about African Americans. Okay. Why aren't you touching this?
Because I'm not going to get into racial politics. I think that nobody wins when people.
And he didn't get into racial politics when he said that all black people were brainwashed.
Cornell, let me ask you.
He's number three right now in the polls, he's going to get into racial politics.
Pick your fight with Herman Cain. Don't pick your fight.
Cornell, fight's not with me.
Cornell, pick your fight with Herman Cain. Don't pick your fight with me.
All right. It gets lively. They go back and forth. But what struck me was like, wait a second. If Herman Cain said this about Jews, it'd be one thing because he's not a Jew, whether it's true or not. If a white Jew said this about blacks, it'd be another thing, whether it was true or not. How can it be racist when you're criticizing your own people? Now look, I was asked by a caller last hour about a definition of racism. So I just type in online. And here are a few different definitions of racism. One dictionary, a belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capacities and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. Or Racism is the belief that there are inherent different traits in human racial groups that justify discrimination. So racism would be one thing, but speaking constructively or critically of your own people, isn't that what we're supposed to do? And if we don't do that, then who can? If a black American can't speak in a constructively critical way of other black Americans, and notice Herman Cain said many, and he was misquoted as saying all, but if he can't, then who can? If a white American Jew can't speak critically to other white American Jews, then who can? 866-34-TRUTH. Mary in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes. Well, I've listened to your previous hour, and I now I have so many things to say. But with regard to the black man who said, you know, well, he didn't think it was racist, but he thought he could have worded it differently, like maybe they weren't as educated on the issue. If Herman Cain had said that, then they would have said, well, he's calling them stupid. I mean, for a conservative, it's a lose-lose situation. The liberal community does not want to hear anything against their message, and so you're going to lose. In Houston, I have several African-American friends from Bible study, and one was a Republican precinct chair, and she lived in a, you know, all-black neighborhood, and every election cycle, her house would be vandalized. Because she would have Republican signs out in her yard and whatever, and they would tear up the signs, they would do stuff to her house, whatever. And I spoke to some at the Republican conventions, which I've been to a gazillion. We have several African-American pastors in the Houston area who are active Republicans. And I said, why can't, you know, you get together with the Democratic pastors and just explain the difference of the two parties? You know, all the anti-God stuff coming from the other direction, the ACLU always trying to take God out of society, always trying to shut up people from praying, trying to keep the name of Jesus out. You know, the military can't pray in the name of Jesus, taking the crosses down. All the communist involvement, the socialist involvement, the America or Citizens Against Citizens for Separation of Church and State, all this anti-God stuff is all coming from within the Democratic ranks. Do they not understand this? And they said, we have to be so careful because it comes down so hard on us, the brainwashing, which they used over the centuries, is so deep. And there's such a divide there that anybody that tries to oppose that is viewed on as the enemy. And and I know that in Houston, every election, you can pick up the Houston Chronicle and you can see Sheila Jackson Lee and all these black congresspeople who have spoken in black churches, which is illegal. I mean, if a conservative church did that, they would lose their tax-exempt status. And I asked these African-American pastors at the conventions, well, what are they talking about? And so they're basically going and saying, if you vote Republican, you're going to lose your welfare, you're going to lose your Social Security, you're going to lose your, you know, Medicare, whatever. And that they have been doing this for years and years and years, and they get away with it. It's a total double standard, and it is a brainwashing. They go in, they're allowed to go in and tell these people all these lies,
So you're saying, Mary, that if a white Republican went and preached in, say, a white church somewhere, a conservative white evangelical church, and made it into a political speech, that everyone would say separation of church and state.
Exactly.
But when it comes down here, it doesn't. Hey, Mary, thank you for weighing in. I'm interested to see perspective of some of our other callers in response to your call, but thanks for hanging on and sharing that. I appreciate it. Obviously, some passion and concern there. 866-34-TRUTH. William in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, sir.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. My concern is that I'm a Christian who is a black man, and I'm looking to look for a leader who will stay consistent with my godly beliefs. I understand over the years that the Democratic Party has been largely supportive to black people. But that time, racism was the ultimate focus. But now we are free to choose. I am so happy that a man like Kane can be a part of the Republican nomination because he satisfies the ability of America to be fluid, that you can choose who you are based on your beliefs. And when he says that black people have been brainwashed because he's trying to stay in
Hey, William, tell you what, stay with me. I want to hear your comments on the other side of the break. And what about this book written by a successful African-American advertiser called Brainwashed, Challenging the Myth of Black Inferiority? We'll talk about it.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking about Herman Cain's comments when asked by Wolf Blitzer why the idea of voting for Republicans or conservatives was, quote, poison to many African Americans. Herman Cain said many have been brainwashed, pure and simple. They won't even consider a conservative point of view. Black American Cornell Belcher, Democratic strategist, said his comments were racist. If he had said that about Jews, it'd be racist. My take is, but can't we speak constructively or share our own views, whether you agree or not, about our own people, about our own group? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? 866-34-TRUTH. William, back to you in Brooklyn. Thanks for holding.
Okay, to make it short, I'm saying that Herman Cain, as a black person, said that because it is true that black people only believe it is the Democratic Party that will lead them. But if you have spiritual, godly concepts in mind, you realize that they have been leading us along the leftist path. And I cannot vote for the leftists. It's not that I think that the Republicans are better, but I'm saying right now it offers an opportunity that we can understand that we have been brainwashed to think only the Democratic Party is for the black person. I think what Herman Cain is doing wasn't racist, was enlightenment, and a refreshing statement that we can have a chance now to realize that it's not about the party alone. It's about which represents the cause for the betterment of humanity so that America can return to a godly base.
William, thank you for weighing in with such clarity and in a concise way as well. I very much appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
866-34-TRUTH. Timothy in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown.
Sure thing.
I think one thing that needs to be done in this whole argument is sort of clarify sort of terminology and really clarify the problem, because what it really seems to me is the problem is not sort of like racially charged speech. It seems like it's a problem that Alexis de Tocqueville predicted in the late 1850s in his book Democracy in America, mm-hmm. that there would be that sentiments would become more and more gentle. And what he meant by that was that political correctness would have an effect where it's not just that we couldn't say things, it's that people would become less apt to receive things that are in any way critical of anything, race, political position, religion, anything. So I think really, I don't know necessarily if it's a problem of what Herman Cain said, as it's a problem with people who heard what he said, if that makes sense.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's slightly different, but to me not entirely unrelated. I was we were talking to one of our daughters the other day, and we're talking about with kids today that in school and different settings everybody has to win. Like that, almost
yeah.
Competition is almost a bad thing. That everybody has to win, and on the one hand, yeah, you want to be sensitive. You don't put all your eggs into the winner's basket and so on. and make those kids feel like they're the only ones that matter, and the kids that don't win don't matter. But yet this idea that everybody has to just be equal and happy, and you can have like no distinctions, that just seems to me to be a related kind of concept.
Oh, absolutely. And the problem is when there is absolute equality, it really muddles people in general. Because when everyone is a winner, no one is a winner. And when everyone is right, no one is right. It's a sort of a relativity that crumbles under its own weight. And really, in my opinion, drags people down, not drags people up. Because the idea of equality would be that everyone rises to the equal standard of goodness. But I think what generally happens is people sink to the lowest standard that is presented to them because they can't criticize the person or the people or the group who is at the lower end of the standard, because that's unfair. That's not politically correct. As Alexis de Tocqueville said, that's not gentle enough.
Yeah, Timothy, I think these are very important observations on the larger issues we're dealing with. And it is funny, if you'll watch, say, an old TV show or comics from the past, it was like everybody was fair game and everybody laughed about it. Now there's
exactly.
No question. There's no question we had all kinds of racial issues, and there's no question we had more prejudices and things like that. But it was also okay to have differences. It was okay to be different and to have differences. There, it didn't seem to be a problem, and to have the ethnic distinctives, and perhaps we could all tell jokes, cross-ethnic jokes, without a problem, whereas now you have to keep it more within the own house. So without question, we had some real problems and issues, and yet it seems we've gone to the other extreme of being
absolutely
so hyper-politically correct. Hey, thanks for the call and for quoting such an important source to our listeners. Thank you, Timothy.
Thank you.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me grab one more call. Cheryl in Atlanta wanted to bring you right on before the break. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? This is a great show. I just wanted to briefly address the young lady that was speaking to the fact that in many cases, black politicians go into, or rather politicians in general, go into the black church or the African-American church.
Yeah, it could be a Bill Clinton the same way, right.
Yeah, okay. And they may talk about the Republican Party and may not be saying, you know, positive things about the Republican Party, and that they kind of get away with it even though they have a tax-exempt status and they should not really be doing that in the church. The way I wanted to address that is that while that may seem true on the surface, historically the only way to get information to African-Americans or the black community has mm-hmm. always been through the church. And historically, black people or African-Americans have been impoverished, have been undereducated, have been unemployed. And so historically, the Republican Party has not been the party to, by and large, address the issues of the black community. And the Democrats have. So therefore, in trying to help an impoverished people and underemployed and undereducated people, they have been allowed to go into the format of the church, the black church, to give them helpful information, to really help them, really assist them, I think.
Right. And yeah, I'm sure there's a history to it. And almost everything has some type of context, obviously.
Yeah.
The question would be, is it now being used for political gain? And is it being used equally across the board? That would be the bigger issue to me. I always noticed that. It didn't matter the skin color of the person in there speaking, but I noticed that in liberal churches or whichever the constituency would be, that a liberal candidate could go in and speak and push their thing and it'd be fine. And then if a conservative did it in a conservative church, that's separation of church and state. Someone brought up the point the other day that we're told constantly, look, you can't bring your morality in. You believe marriage is the union of a man and woman based on the Bible. You can't bring your morality into elections. But then the liberal churches and the gay churches that say that two men or two women can marry, they want to bring that in. So it is that double standard. But thanks for the observation. I appreciate it. All right, we'll be back with your calls. And I've got some interesting quotes I want to bounce off of you. And I want you to tell me, are these racist or not?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know what? It's really interesting. I do not have a political bone in my body in terms of long live the Republican Party or long live the Democratic Party or anything like that. On the other hand, I absolutely have a tremendous interest in which way politics go in America. I recognize it's complex. In other words, I think we make a terrible mistake when we look for a political savior. I remember when President Carter was elected. I was saved just a few years at that point. He's born again. Wow, we got a born again president. How wonderful it's going to be. Wow. And then, of course, he gets wiped out by Reagan. And the conservatives, the moral majority and others, man, Reagan was going to be the man. And he did a lot of good. But, you know, abortion, he was a strong pro-life president. We had 1.5 million babies killed every year during his 8 years of presidency. And then, you know, oh, this one's going to do it for many Americans. Barack Obama, he was almost a messianic figure. He's the one's going to bring about change. And now we're looking for the new Republican candidate, especially a strong, committed Christian. Wow, maybe this is the one. We really make a mistake when we look for a political savior. We work within the political system, but we make a mistake when we look for a political savior. I wrote about that. If you didn't read my article yet, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on Voice of Revolution. I don't have time to get into it more. I plan to, but another subject has gotten our attention. So go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Voice of Revolution. Read my article. Don't put your trust in a political savior. Share it with your friends. I've also written an article that should be appearing later today on Town Hall, The Girl Who Thought She Was a Werewolf Vampire. You want to hear about that. But what we're focused on is this, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Is it racist to criticize your own race? Is it racist to criticize your own race? If I, as a white American, take issue with other white Americans and say, look, you know, many of us are very materialistic and greedy and carnal. If I said that about white American churches, if I said that about suburban churches, I plan to write a book one day called White Collar Christianity, which deals with a lot of our suburban Christianity that often is just doesn't want to get its hands dirty. And is it racist if I say those things? As a Jew, if I criticize my fellow Jews and say, I don't think we really look at the issues. You know, we vote as a bloc so much Democrat, liberal. I don't think we really look at the issues. Is that being racist or anti-Semitic? So when Herman Cain says what he says, again, my only issue is not even whether his comments are accurate or not, or whether we agree with them or not, although many have weighed in on that already over the last hour and a half. My issue is, if we don't have the right to speak critically of our own people, then who does? 866-34-TRUTH. One more time, let's listen to what Herman Cain said to Wolf Blitzer.
Why is the Republican Party poison for so many African Americans?
Because many African Americans have been brainwashed into not being open-minded, not even considering a conservative point of view. I have received some of that same vitriol simply because I am running for the Republican nomination as a conservative. So it's just brainwashing and people not being open-minded, pure and simple.
All right. Now, whether you agree with this comment or not, and I've had many black American callers call in the last hour and a half and said they agree, whether you agree with it or not, I don't see anything racist about it. When others have criticized him of being racist, I don't see a racist syllable in that. Look, Malcolm X, who was certainly a champion for his own race, and of course an extreme in certain ways, especially at the beginning, he said to his people, you've been misled, you've been had, you've been took. I own a book by Tom Burrell, who's an African-American advertiser, highly successful advertiser. He wrote this book called Brainwashed, challenging the myth of black inferiority, saying that black Americans have been brainwashed into thinking they're inferior through the media and other means, and people have to break that cycle. I thought it was an important book in-house. I couldn't have written it. He had to write it. That's my point. You agree? Different. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends. Listen, this radio program, Christian Talk Radio, is not conservative politics. I said that over and over and over. That's why you don't hear me every day bashing the president or bashing the Democratic Party or bashing the Congress or bashing the Republican Party. Now, when four Republicans sold out in New York State, because of which same-sex, quote, marriage is now the law in New York, you better believe I spoke against what they were doing. I mean, we are to be salt and light. We are to expose what is wrong. We are to address it. So I am everything I do is to bring a biblically-based perspective, whether we're talking about the power of repentance, as I plan to do on Wednesday, or we're talking about, or later this week, or we're talking about some other biblical subject or Jewish holy day and how this applies to us as believers, or whether we're talking about what's happening in the political scene. Everything I'm doing is to bring a constructive conversation so that we can talk these things through as part of the body and set an example and learn and grow. That's the purpose of it. That's why I'm on the air. You're a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. That's what we seek to do. Bring a Jesus perspective to moral, cultural issues, as well as look at the scriptures together. And that's why we're discussing this issue today, 866-34-TRUTH. And I've been blessed by the many believers in the last hour and 40 minutes who've called in and offered their perspectives. Michael in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, sir.
Yes. Yes.
You're on the air.
Yeah, basically, my issue is that I think, like, for instance, the comments can kind of be derogatory for the simple fact that I feel that I'm a black male and I raise a white male out of my home.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, in teaching him things from a godly perspective, from what he's already been taught by his parents, which was wrong, I still have to come back when he makes statements that he wants to be black, that I have to give him an identity and help him focus on his own identity for who he is,
mm-hmm.
and not for who he wants to be as a man of God. And I think that you can be racist in your own race in wanting to be something that you're actually not.
Mm.
And there can be, and I feel that there is, a misconception when everyone is put into a box that really don't fit, because I'm conservative when it comes to my money, but I'm democratic when it comes to helping people. So I feel like it can go a whole lot of different ways without putting everybody in the same perspective.
Yeah, and Michael, let me ask you this. And again, you remind us in your own household and then in your own values that we don't just fit in one category. I mean, I certainly don't. I mean, you can put me in one category in many issues, but then I'm not going to fit in others. So the question would be, with when Herman Cain made reference to many, that was his comment. He was asked a direct question by Wolf Blitzer and made reference to many black Americans. I've said the same thing about many Jews, because Jewish Americans and black Americans tend to vote overwhelmingly Democrat. And so when he made the comment about many, and he's speaking as a black man, was that comment racist, or can we, even though we're all part of the human race, but do we have a right to speak more particularly to our own church, our own denomination, our own race, our own ethnicity, and that we can say things within house that for someone outside of house would be inappropriate?
I feel that what he said wasn't necessarily in perspective with, I feel like what he was saying was somewhat demeaning. That's how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I felt about his comment. Can certain things be said? Yes, but it would have been a little different if it was wide, if it was attacked on a level that was widespread rather than derogatory strictly towards black men. And I feel like the question could have also been somewhat, I just feel like it could have been attacked in a different manner.
Got it. All right. Hey, listen, I appreciate your perspective, and most of all, that both you and I find our primary identity in Jesus more than anything else.
And that's what counts most.
Yeah, thank you for weighing in, sir. I appreciate
okay.
it.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Sylvia in All right, we lost Sylvia there. Mark in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call, sir.
You're very welcome.
I am a young black man, and I feel like I can speak authoritatively on issues concerning the black race. Call me a racist. I know some liberals may or may call me an Uncle Tom or a sellout. Quite honestly, I don't care, sir. But I can tell you this, that most black people are very dishonest. And I say that because blacks, especially black Christians, are conservative socially. We're social conservatives. But we, and I'm speaking in general, not for myself, will support liberal politicians. My family, we're members of a local congregation that's part of a large black, historically black denomination. And just about everybody in our church, from leadership down to the guy or gal sitting in the back row, supports liberal Democrats. They claim to be pro-life. They claim to be in favor of the sanctity of marriage as laid out in the book of Genesis, but they'll support liberal politicians and then spin their reason for supporting them. When if we rewind the hands of time 4 years ago, most black people were not supporting Barack Obama because they quote thought he was not black enough. He wasn't really black because his mother was white and he was raised in Hawaii by his white grandparents, so he couldn't relate to the average black person. But now if you criticize him, you're considered a racist. So why wasn't it 4 years ago that black liberals weren't considered racist for criticizing him?
Got it. Yeah, I understand the logic there. So let me ask you this, Mark.
Yes, sir.
It would not occur to me, and I would not make the statement that most African Americans are, quote, dishonest.
Because you'll be labeled a hate monger.
Well, no, not just that, but it's not my experience. It's not my belief. I definitely have an issue with the voting mentality among those who are professing faith in Jesus and biblical values. But so I just wanted to weigh in on my opinion on that, and I don't want to inflame others and get us off subject. But of course, you're free to say what you believe and feel. Yeah. The question would be, okay, this is what I'm consistently told, because I have pastor friends who have multi-ethnic churches, that somehow the issues of what they feel are social justice and the issues of what they feel are solidarity with the poor in the inner city, that outweighs issues about abortion or homosexuality, etc. Now, I would challenge whether the Democratic policies are the best for the poor, the inner city, or if it's helping to facilitate a welfare state among people of all colors. That's a separate issue. So in your mind, though, you feel it's more dishonesty than...
Yes, sir.
Okay, so then why do it? For what reason would people say, okay, I have this moral conservative value here, but I'm voting liberal Democrat there?
Because of what the exact same thing that Mr. Kane said, blacks have been brainwashed into voting for the Democrat Party because of revisionist history. We as a voting bloc are told that Republicans are racist. Republicans want to take away this and take away that. And I'm sorry, sir, but no politician can take away anything from me because I don't get anything from politicians. Everything I have comes from the good Lord. So I'm not concerned about somebody taking stuff away from me. But we've been told for so long that Republicans are racist and Republicans don't like black folk and vote for me because I will give you this and I will make sure you get your welfare check, you'll get your unemployment check, and you'll get this and you'll get that. And really, it has fostered a plantation mentality. Now, I'm not talking about the slave plantation, but a plantation mentality in the sense of dependence on someone for your subsistence.
So if someone comes along that wants to challenge the group, whatever the group is, challenge them so that they can be empowered as opposed to give them a handout, rather than that person being welcomed, they'd be looked at as a threat somehow.
Yes, sir.
Got it. Hey, Mark, I appreciate you weighing in so
yes,
clearly,
sir.
And I'm sure you stirred up a bunch of emotions with our listeners, which is what this is all about, to think
the
issues through.
I stir up stuff all the time, Dr. Brown. But also, just a quick comment before I go. The lady from Atlanta that said that Democrats were cared about educating black people.
Oh, that's why they went in the churches. Yeah,
that's not true, sir. Historically, every HBCU was founded by white abolitionists who were Republicans.
Oh, yeah, the whole Republican history, and a black caller brought that up in the first hour, and I only identify the ethnicity because it's relevant. Otherwise, I'm not seeing or hearing color as we're doing the show. But he brought that up as well in terms of the anti-segregation movement and other history, that it was Republicans at the forefront and Democrats on the other side. So that's a whole other issue to discuss. But, hey, man, thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Remember, I'm not going to have a lot of time to get into my article and the subject of putting our trust in a political savior, but it's very important. Please go to askdrbrown.org, click on The Voice of Revolution, and read this article. I think you'll find it enlightening and helpful.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I hope to have an article out within the next 48 hours on this subject. Wrote it last night. Is it racist to criticize your own race? All right, back to the phones. Georgina. All right, we lost Georgina there. We'll go to Todd in Tampa, Florida. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Anytime, Doc. Anytime. It's not only racist to to challenge someone in your own race. It's not racist to challenge anyone of any race. Okay. This is America, and this is what public comment is all about. Herman Cain said, "What is the truth?" And what I want to say, Doc, is I worked with so many pastors and whatever, and I ran across a black deacon, been at the same church for a long time. And we were walking, and he said, this president's taking our country down the wrong path. And I said, you're the first black deacon, elder, pastor that said that to me. He goes, no, there's a lot of us that know it's true. Okay,
yeah,
and so, Doc, and when let me just say this, and you're going to ask me a question, Doc, but I want to say don't get me wrong, we're asking for Jesus to take over, not a man. I mean, there's a person that holds the office, but the president, his actions, okay, his fraud, he's yelling about the homosexual. Why didn't anybody say something about the gay guy? How about you standing up for pro-life? How about you standing up for homosexuality is unholy and it's not Christian? How about you standing up? You're going to answer to the master, and
hey, Todd, let me just jump in out of respect to our other calls, all of which I asked to be you're absolutely right. For him to address the Human Rights Campaign, the world's largest gay activist organization, and show tremendous solidarity with them, and he's not going to get criticized for that, but then he criticized Republican candidates because they didn't speak up when a gay soldier had a question and was booed. There's quite a double standard there. But Todd, the issue is, it has nothing to do with skin color. I still want to pray that President Obama will be the greatest president in American history and that God will get hold of him and use him to turn our country around. The skin color is not the issue. The righteousness issues are the issue. But thanks for weighing in. You could probably have your own talk radio show and go for it, but we got time constraints. So thank you, sir. Art in Marietta, Georgia, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey there, Dr. Brown. Just wanted to weigh in on the subject with this. It's really interesting. I'm African-American. It's interesting when you consider the fact that coming out of slavery during the Reconstruction period of America, the black politicians who had been in bondage for so long knew not to become Democratic, where they really would have been in bondage, but they went to the Republican Party. And not one, during those early years, not one African-American was Republican during that time. Was Democratic during that time. They were all Republican because they saw the evils of the Democratic Party, and those evils still exist today. And so, I had a conversation earlier today with a lady who was a Democrat, and with a photograph of the president on the back of her car. And when I tried to introduce some conservative values to her, she insisted that she would not change parties. So there is a brainwashing, and it is real.
Yeah, I mean, there's something I think in many of us. I'm looking at a definition by Ed Silvoso. A stronghold is a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that causes us to accept as unchangeable something that we know is contrary to the will of God. I think on a lesser level that we can fall into a certain pattern mindset, and it becomes a stronghold that facts and information can't assail, it seems, and it is a stronghold. I think each of us have it in certain areas of our lives. Each of us have some stronghold, and we don't see it because we're trapped in it, and the Holy Spirit has to open our hearts and minds. But, Art, thank you, sir, for weighing in and reminding us of history as well. John in Aurora, Colorado, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. You're a first-time listener. I was using your faith this time. But my thing, God's standard is righteousness and everything. And it seems like when people say something that's true, and it's the truth about the situation that's going on, then people raise up and are always against it and always doing this, on these talk shows are talking down about these people. But if you could spread a lie, nobody'd say anything about it. It's just,
interesting.
I mean, sometimes there's just a stubborn standard, I think, that some people have, and it's not right.
If we didn't hit the nail on the head, then if someone hits the nerve, so to say, it gets a reaction. And that would be the question, is it, if it had been a liberal comment by a liberal black leader, would it have gotten the same amount of attention? Again, John, to me, the big thing is, regardless of whether the comments were true or not, if I can't speak to my own people, whatever group that is, if I can't speak to my own people, then who can? If we can't, within the family, within our own house, speak honestly, or in a public setting with others listening in, speak honestly, then we never will. But John, thank you for listening, and thank you for weighing in. Well, I'll tell you, this discussion elicited a lot of interesting conversation. I want to bring on the radio one of these days a gentleman that I met who's a leader in the Republican Party, North Carolina, perhaps South Carolina. He is a black American, very articulate, charismatic individual who is sharing just some of the history of the Republican and Democratic Party, had some literature on it. It was quite eye-opening, and I would love to look at that from a historical perspective, not recruiting for either party, but from a historical perspective. So maybe one of these days we'll do that. Just a reminder to be praying for us. By God's grace, we're on the front lines here, seeking to make a difference, really seeking to help spark a Jesus-based moral, cultural, spiritual revolution following the nonviolent principles of the Master. Whatever we can do to help you be changed and transformed into his image and go out and change your world, we are here to do it. Our special resource offer this week is one that will really bless you and most everyone will be able to afford. We worked very hard for a few years with the Inspiration Network. Very, very demanding, challenging. We did these TV shows called Think It Through, documentaries on the streets of New York and L.A. and different parts of the country. Fascinating. We did some in Atlanta as well. And we'd come up with these topics that would be of interest to the wider viewing audience and specifically try to draw in Jewish people who weren't believers, but everyone seemed to really enjoy them. I want to send you two of these on DVD. So it's two of the TV shows, one called An Incomplete Religion, asking about Judaism as an incomplete religion, and the other one, let's see what the other one is here. That's right, A Rest Beyond the Sabbath. A Rest Beyond the Sabbath, about the real meaning of Sabbath. You'll find them fascinating, enjoyable, and we'll send you both DVDs for just $10, and we'll pay the postage. How's that? So call to get them today at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. You can order online at AskDrBrown.org by clicking on the Line of Fire. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, if we can find our security in Jesus, and someone comes to speak truth to us, whether they're in our family or outside our family, we should be able to receive constructive criticism and grow by it. And all the more when it's someone within our own camp, let our ears be open to the truth. Came to work.